Good to see everyone today. Surprise, surprise. You have a guest speaker that it was a guest to me too. So praise the Lord. I'm glad to be with you today. It's going to be an awesome morning. So let's pray before we get started and start running with the Lord and let the Holy Spirit lead and guide us. And we're going to do some stuff today. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for the gift of life that you've given us. A life we've never experienced before, but we get to walk in a newness and a freshness that only you can give. Father God, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that you've given us to lead and guide us. You give us all wisdom and all of you. So therefore, we lack for no good thing. We thank you for what you reveal in your word today, that we will walk in a new way, that we will leave this place better than when we came, yes, like we never have before, and we will go forth leaping with joy, yes, with everything you're doing in our lives. We thank you that we get to share it with the world. Give us wisdom, give us eyes to see, and give us words to speak in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This is a healing place. This is a healing place. I know you know that. You come every week. But this is a healing place. Every day is a thank you, Jesus day. Every day. You get up and you thank the Lord that you got breath, you got eyes, you got ears, you got a mouth. You can taste the wonderful food. You can walk on this earth. You can live. No matter what's facing you, you've got your breath. You've got your life. You've got the victory in Jesus. Today we're going to talk about a few things. And I know it's going to bless you, but be ready to run with me because we might shift gears in the middle. But we're going to talk about getting the stones out. Getting the stones out.
Good.
When I got the call this morning, I got in the car and ran here early this morning to pick up some of my papers. And the Holy Spirit said, get the stone out. So that's what we're going to talk about, getting the stones out. So I want you to turn your Bibles to John 11. I'm going to be reading out of the Message Bible. You might not have it, but your Bible will say the same thing, just maybe in a little slightly different language. My husband always told me that the Message Bible was a street language Bible. You know, that's what somebody gave him when he first went in the shipyard so that he could understand the word.
Right.
It wasn't foreign like the these and the thous. Yeah. It was more like a street language. It probably does not compare to the street language today, but back in the 90s, maybe it did. So we're going to read about the death of Lazarus this morning. So John 11, I'm going to go ahead and start with verse 1. A man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and the sister Martha. This was the same Mary who massaged the Lord's feet with aromatic oils and then wiped them with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was sick. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Master, the one that you love is very much sick. When Jesus got the message, he said, "The sickness is not fatal. It will become an occasion to show God's glory by glorifying God's Son." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, but oddly, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed on where he was for two more days. After the 2 days, he sent to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judah." They said, "Rabbi, you can't do that. The Jews are out to kill you, and you're going back." Jesus replied, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daylight doesn't stumble because there's plenty of light from the sun. Walking in the night, he might very well stumble because he can't see where he's going." He said these things and then announced, "Our friend Lazarus was fallen asleep. I'm going to wake him up." The disciples said, "Master, if he's gone to sleep, he'll get a good rest and wake up feeling fine." Jesus was talking about a death, while his disciples thought he was talking about going to take a nap. Then Jesus became explicit and said, "Jesus died, and I am glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. You're about to be given new grounds for believing. Now let's go to him." Remember that piece that it says, You're about to be given now grounds for believing. Then, when Thomas, the one the twins, said to his companions, come along, we might as well die with him. When Jesus finally got there, he found Lazarus already 4 days dead. Bethany was about near Jerusalem, only a couple of miles away, and many of the Jews were visiting Martha and Mary, sympathizing with them over their brother. Martha heard Jesus was coming and went out to meet him. Mary remained in the house. Martha said, Master, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask God, he will give you. Jesus said, your brother will be raised up. Martha replied, I know that he'll be raised up in the resurrection at the end of time. You don't have to wait for the end. I am right now. And everyone who lives believing in me does not ultimately die at all. Do you believe this? Remember that one too. Do you believe the words in the book? Okay. Yes, Master, all along I have believed that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who comes into the world. After saying this, she went to her sister Mary and whispered in her ear, the teacher is here and is asking for you. The moment she heard that, she jumped up and ran out to him. Jesus had not yet entered the town, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When her sympathizing Jewish friends saw Mary run out, they followed. They followed her, thinking that she was on her way to the tomb to weep there. Mary came to where Jesus was waiting and fell at his feet, saying, Master, if you had only been here, my brother would have not died. When Jesus saw her sobbing and the Jews with her sobbing, a deep anger welled up in him, and he said, where did you put him? Master, come and see, they said. Now Jesus wept again. The Jews said, look how deeply he loves him. Others among them said, well, if he loved him so much, why didn't he do something to keep him from dying? After all, he's opened the eyes of the blind man. You probably heard that before too. Why didn't Jesus heal this person? Why didn't he do this? Why didn't he do that? Then Jesus, the anger again welled up in him, arrived at the tomb. It was a simple cave in a hillside with a slab of stone laid up against it. Jesus said, remove the stone. The sisters of the dead man, Martha, said, Master, by this time there's a stench. He's been there 4 days. Jesus looked at her in the eye. Didn't I tell you, if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Then to the others, go ahead and take away the stone. They removed the stone. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and prayed, Father, I am grateful that you have listened to me. I know you always do listen, but on account of this crowd standing here, I've spoken so that they might believe that you sent me. Then he shouted, Lazarus, come out. And he came out. Cadavers. He was wrapped from head to toe with a kerchief around his face. And Jesus told them to unwrap him. Jesus has come to remove the stones out of our lives. He's come to resurrect us and give us a life worth living for him. A life that is everlasting. So I'm going to ask you the same question I brought out a couple times. Do you believe? Or are you accusing Jesus like they did if you had only been here? He is here with us. And he will listen, just like Jesus said. You are listening. And you will do what you said. He gave us this book. And this book has the answer to every question, the solution to problem. Anything you are facing, there is an answer in this book, and there is words that produce the very DNA that God himself has.
Yes, right.
Things obey words when we speak the words of Jesus.
Yes, they do.
Things change when we speak the words of Jesus. You do not have to tolerate what's been or banging at you, been roughhousing you, been humiliating you, because you do not need that. You have the ability to change that. Jesus gave you the words. So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about removing the stones that are there, and I'm going to give you 3 points that are going to help you walk through that. But God is much bigger than anything you're facing. He's bigger than your regrets. He's bigger than your anxiety. He's bigger than your sins. He's bigger than your fears. He's bigger than any mistake you have made in your life or even made yesterday.
Yeah.
He does not want you living in shame. He does not want you towering underneath those anxieties and fears. He is bigger than any temptation that comes against you.
Yes.
He is bigger than any doubt or regret or depression or your past. He redeems us from our past.
Yes.
The old man gets to die and we get to live a new life in Christ. You can leave the junk of yesterday and walk forward in freedom. He frees the prisoners. He'll take care of getting rid of your pride of not wanting to be seen as humble and loving Jesus. He's bigger than your loss. If you've lost loved ones, or you've lost jobs, or you've lost certain parts of body parts or whatever, he is bigger than that, and he is a restorer of anything that's been broken or stolen. He wants to redeem the time. He wants to give you back 7 times what was stolen from you. He wants to restore you completely. He's bigger than your worries. Worry is opposite of what he is. You do not need to doubt that he would come to answer whatever you need. He just told them, "Didn't I tell you about the resurrection? I am bigger than that. Believe." So, let's get some stones out. Stones of fear, stones of bitterness, stones of guilt, stones of addictions, stones of disappointment, stones of the pride, unbelief, stones of pain, stones of depression, stones of loneliness, stones of unforgiveness, hurts. The enemy wants the stones to stay in place. Because behind that stone is something God wants to resurrect. He wants to resurrect our lives like he did Lazarus. That was why that's put in there, so that we could see he would resurrect us and give us a new life. He would take dead things and make them alive again. Take the stone away. Remove the stone. Kick it out. You don't have to tolerate it. I pray by the end of today you will not tolerate things that God did not send, God did not give, and that he paid the price for.
That's right.
Stones have to be moved. Sometimes we get familiar with things that are dysfunctional because they're familiar. You tolerate pain, you tolerate addictions, you tolerate wrong words because you get familiar with them. You have to kick them out. You have to remove yourself from those situations and start living the life God gave you. He gave us all a life to live, but some of us stay in the prison. Some of us stay in the concentration camps that we don't need to because we've been set free. Lazarus could have stayed in there, but no, he came forth. Hair. Sorry. Sometimes God will do the supernatural on our natural. But he still expects us to have a part to play in it. You know, Yeah, rain falls on everybody, but sometimes we have to call forth what we need and then remove the things that we don't want or God didn't give. We can tolerate them, we can get familiar with them and operate with them, but codependency invites problems, chaos, and you do not need it in your life. There are some things only God can do, of course. God can only raise the dead. He's the one that heals the brokenhearted. He's the one that saves soul and gives salvation. He's the one that restores the lost. But when we sit in his presence and trust his word, he will do all those things through us. There's some things God asks us to do. He asks us to forgive, just as he forgave. He does not want us holding on to unforgiveness. When you have an unforgiveness in your heart, you have bitterness, hatred, and everything you thought the other person did to you is in your heart. You need to release it. So that's one stone that needs to be removed. Another stone that needs to be removed is excuses of why you can't come to church, of why you didn't get healed, of why somebody doesn't like you. Excuses are miles high, and we use them right and left, and we don't need to. We need to be who we say we are, and we need to walk forward and do the word. The word is the answer. Jesus didn't use excuses. We do not need to use excuses. We do not need to doubt the word. We do not need to get anxiety and fear and start doubting that God said he would heal us, that he would restore us, that he would provide for us. We need to stop with the stones of sinful habits that we know are wrong and God redeemed us from. We need to just go ahead and cast that stone out into the sea and leave it there and don't go sea fishing for it again. You don't need to take your boat out there with your rod and put a bait on it to catch your sin again and bring it back up because you can't stop rehearsing it in your head. You need to cast that movie out. You need to throw it out there and leave it out there and don't go fishing for it no more.
That's right.
Spiritual laziness. You need to get rid of it. You need to do the word. You need to establish good spiritual disciplines and habits in your lives of reading the word, of praying, being in church, and just doing the word. We can all be full of knowledge and say, I know that, I know that, I know that. I know I'm supposed to be doing that, but I don't do it. That's laziness. That's an excuse. And God does not want us doing that. That's why we sometimes don't get our answers, because we have a stone in front of our lives. We do not need those things stopping us. The church, yes, is a hospital where we come to live and learn how to get healed, but it also is a powerhouse to change the world, the nations, and the people around here. We should be a light, not a darkness. We should be changing things, not putting up with things. We have got to stop tolerating the junk that the enemy has thrown us. We need to remove the stones. We need to cast them out. We need to start answering them like Jesus did. Jesus was in the temptation. He answered everything that the devil threw at him. He answered it. He told it where to go. And then he started praising God and he went about his duties and his business. He's about his Father's business. He went out and did it. And anytime anything came against him, he cast it out. He spoke to it and he called it what it was. He did not give it a title or a name or a medical issue and say, I have dud, 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 dud with the letters. No, he knew what it was. It was an attack of the enemy to come and steal, kill, and rob from him. And he didn't tolerate it. And he doesn't want us tolerating those things. I'm not excusing the stuff that we have to put up with. Every day we have to put up with stuff. But we need to stand firm in the word. That's where our victory is.
That's
and
right.
We, many of us have had miracles in our lives. We've had answers to prayers. I've seen a many. But I still every day have to do what the word
That's
says
right.
to do. The victories of yesterday will carry me through for the testimony, but I still have to do it. You still have to do it. I've seen my mom raised from the dead.
Yeah.
In my own house.
Yeah.
She just went down, and all I'm doing is praying in tongues over her, and she's raised from the dead. I've seen my husband, who did not know the Lord, was just abstinent to anything about Jesus. After many years of prayer, after many times of trying to commit suicide, and still I heard the Lord say, go home to your husband. So I went home to my husband. I got on my knees. I got in the Word. I did what Matthew 6:33 said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his way of doing and being, and all these things shall be added unto you. That was my life verse. And so I sought God with all my heart.
Yes.
It took 15 years. Most of us would have quit by that time.
Oh my.
And I'm not telling you to wait 15 years. I'm just saying it took 15 years of praying and declaring. But you know my husband. He's a man of God.
Yep.
He loves the Lord. He's a walking, talking, breathing scriptures. He can recite them and say them. And, you know, he could have preached better for me this morning when he came in and told me, you're preaching today. And I said, okay. I said, and he's rattling off all the scriptures. And I'm saying, okay, you want to come with me? Praise the Lord. God can remove the stones from your life. You guys are victorious. You're overcomers. You're here every week. The people online are here every week. You're getting filled up. You've got your ammo in you. Use it for what it's purposed for, to change the world. God left us here for a reason. If we were supposed to go to heaven as soon as we got saved, we would have all been gone, and he would have had to do another batch and another batch and another batch and just keep pulling us up. But no, he left us here for a reason. We have a job to do. Everyone we see gets to see the light of God. No matter if you say something or don't say something, you should just ooze the word of God out of you just by your presence. We're atmosphere changers. We're influencers for the kingdom. Every word you speak should be a word of life. It should not be speaking death. It should not be speaking doubt. It should not be cursing or just rattling off whatever. We have the opportunity to change everyone and to change anything. Amen. So, you got some stones. I hope you don't have any stones by the time you leave today. There is no place for obstacles, for stones, for opposition, for pain, for even sickness. No. As soon as it comes, we kick it out. We answer it and say with the word of God what we have. By his stripes, we are healed. Yeah. We answer it. Then we tell it to leave. You might have an addiction that keeps rearing its ugly head, or an ugly thought, or an unforgiveness, and every time it rehearses, even if you didn't think the movie was playing all night long, and it just keeps turning around, you get up and you kick it out. If you have to go to the door and say, here, get out, you have to physically tell it what to do, you do it. You don't tolerate it.
That's right.
And then you get in God's presence, and you rest. He wants us at peace. He does not want us in chaos. He does not want us rattled. He does not want us shaken in any way, shape, or form. So when we tolerate something because it's familiar, or we're used to it, or we nurse it, or it's just something I live with, that's something you're familiar with. And if God didn't give it, this is your opportunity to say, I see you for what you are, and I am not having you in my life no more. You are gone, no matter if it's headaches, if it's loneliness, if it's pain, if it's unforgiveness. You're just tolerating that bad behavior. I'm kicking it out. You need to kick it out. Kick it out and allow the life of God to come in and flood your life. The peace that passes all understanding, that peace that guards your heart. You know, I always heard it was like I have these angels of peace, you know, they're standing there guarding my heart. And I'm thinking, okay, that's the first part I heard. And I said, okay, I have the Lord around me. He's put me in the palm of his hands. He's wrapped his arms around me. He has taken my place, and he loves me, and he's restored me. Why would I allow myself to leave that position to go to defend something or get familiar with something and sit in the wrong place? I've been given a place right beside him. So when opposition comes, when accusations come, when pain comes, you got to face it and say, no, you don't. In Jesus' name, he healed me. He took it on the cross, and I don't have to bear it. And then you send it down the road. You send it to the sea. You get out of the door. You don't tolerate it. And then you start praising him so that you get filled up more and more and more till you overflow with his presence. You get the joy of the Holy Ghost then. You walk in the fullness of everything that he is, and you get the victory. So, having stones in your life is not a good thing, is it?
No.
So we're kicking them out. We're removing them.
Yeah.
And we're going to walk victorious in that resurrected life that Jesus came to give us. He gave us a resurrected life here.
Right.
Here on this earth, we get to walk the life of God. We get to live in his fullness, in his presence. Amen. The many times I've had problems with depression, it's because I was alone. So watch when you're alone that you're with him and not something else. And so many times the whole family would leave and I would be sitting there. We had 18 acres in Gloucester, and I would be, you know, I had things to do. We raised gardens and animals and all kinds of stuff. So I had a full schedule. I was at home, but as soon as everybody left, a dark depression would come over me for a couple of years. And I learned that I needed to get up, not sit there. I needed to get out of the house, and I would walk. And as I walked, I would recite scriptures. I would just start mumbling and reciting scriptures and praying in tongues. And it took days, but it lifted. And I've learned that when I'm not sitting there purposely to sit in God's presence, but I'm sitting there with whatever, it can get heavier and heavier until it takes a mountain to get out of it. But if you will get up and move out and do the word, you will get freedom.
Yep.
I had to learn that I had to answer what was trying to deposit itself in me, and I had to tell it to get out by the word.
Right.
Because the word has power. It has the very life and DNA of God in it. And so when I spoke the word, the word set me free.
Yeah.
That's what's going to set you free.
That's
right. What's going to heal you. That's what's going to keep you alive for him.
Right.
But if you start to drift or slack off, you can get overwhelmed or you can get stagnant. And when stagnancy comes in, it's like that water that gets mucky and yucky and smelly and slimy, and then it invites everything that is not pure and truth and of life. And so the reason I tell you that is that's how I've overcome everything that's come against me is the word. When my husband would not, didn't seem like he was going to change, didn't seem like he was going to, he would, oh, that God you got, that God you got. You know, let him do this. He, you know, because his brother had been killed in a car accident, and he would just get so bitter and disoriented. And I would just get up. I would get out of the trailer. I would walk down the mile dirt road, and I would talk to the Lord, and I would recite scripture, and then I would yell. I would literally yell, give my husband a heart of love. Give him a heart of love. And probably within a year, he brought home a little black dog that he ended up naming Slippers. And never could an animal come in the house. And he brought this dog home and gave it to my girls. He brought it in the house, and everything changed from that point. The Lord had given my husband a heart of love. And things started to change. They weren't perfect, but it started to change. Because when I was faced with stones and opposition, depression, doubts that God would hear my prayers because it was taking so long, I got up, I went out, and I walked, and I spent some time with him reciting the word, speaking what I knew God could do, and our life started to change. The seeds had already been sown, but now I was watering the seeds I sowed. You have to water the seeds that you sow. Nothing grows if you don't water it. You know, right now we're somewhat in a drought. We need water. And things start to die when you don't have water. So we need to be speaking the water of the word over our lives. If we keep this mouth closed, we lose by default. If we want to get filled with the Holy Spirit, but we come up and or have someone pray with us and we keep our mouth closed, we don't get nothing. It takes our cooperation of opening our mouth. God will fill it with anything and everything we need, but we have to be a participating part of this. I mean, I remember Mark Hankin say, it's a chess game. It's God's move, it's your move. It's God's move, it's your move. Not that God plays chess, it's just the way he explained it. And so it's always stuck with me. There's a God part and there's a man part or a woman part. It's just the part that God's reaching down to give us all his grace, but we have to reach up and grab it. We have to receive his forgiveness. We have to receive his love. We have to receive his healing. And then we have to receive his salvation. We have to believe in our heart and speak with our mouth. Our mouth has to be a participating part of everything of faith. Faith speaks what it believes. Out of the mouth, the heart speaks. So when you hear doubt and complaining and fear and pain coming out of your heart, you know you have a belief problem. So you have to start speaking what you believe. So if you're speaking wrong, the best way to change that is fill up with a new belief system. So the best thing to do is to get in the Word. So yay, you're in the Word. It is the most productive thing that you can do. It is the most productive thing you can do. Now, I'm going to go to Mark 11. Everybody knows this, and yeah, I can recite it, but I'm going to read it. I'm just going to read this part, and then I'll go back. The withered fig tree, Mark 11:20. I'm going to start. In the morning, as they went along, they saw a fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered. Jesus spoke to something that wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. He spoke to something that was doing something it wasn't supposed to do. And he said, have faith in God. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. You remember in the story of Lazarus, if you believe. Okay? Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Jesus told us that we could speak to things, we could say to things what it needed to be. You know, the reason he cursed that fig tree is because it was not producing fruit, no matter if it was the time or not the time. I've always thought about that. It really wasn't the time of figs, but Jesus wanted a fig. So he expects us, as his children, to produce fruit. He wants fruit. The fruit of love, the fruit of peace, the fruit of joy, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. All of those fruits, he wants them all. He wants them in our lives. He doesn't tolerate things that aren't producing fruit.
Nope.
He wants us to produce fruit. And the way you produce fruit is to get in the right garden and to get watered with the right word and to have the sun shining upon you, the Son of Jesus.
Yeah.
Come on, he wants us to produce fruit, and things that aren't producing fruit, he wants us to kick them out.
Yeah.
So that's why he wants the stones out of your life, and then he wants you filled up with the word so you produce that fruit. He gave you the resource. He is the one that equips us to produce the fruit. But he wants us to eat this word. He wants us to sleep this word. He wants us to see this word. He wants us to walk this word. He wants us to talk this word. That's what he wants in our lives. He doesn't want us entangled in the world's circumstances and issues. He wants us to change the world's circumstances and issue. We have authority and power to change things.
Yeah.
The answer to it all is in the first statement. Have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. Have faith in God. Believe who he is and what he said he would do, and then believe what he did in you. He came and saved us, and when he saved us, he deposited his spirit within us. And when he deposited his spirit in us, you know what he shed in us, in our hearts? The love of God. And the love of God brings all those fruits in our lives. You have everything you need to speak right, to believe right, to walk right, and to live right. You have it all deposited within you. It's like you have a bank account within you that you're not pulling from. If you had $1 million in your bank and you knew it, wouldn't you be spending it? Wouldn't you be blessing this people and doing this and taking care of your kids and making sure things were right? But you've got a bank in you. I don't know if you realize that. You have a bank that has everything you need in you because the Holy Spirit shed that love in you. He shed every bit of that in you, and he says, access it. You can access it, and you don't have to live the way you've always lived. But what happens is we get in default, like those computers, or just our mindset where we just say, you know, I've always spoke that word. Well, I just keep speaking that bad word, or I keep thinking that wrong way, or Mama's always done it this way, so that's the way I do it.
Yeah.
Hey, we got a new way to live.
Yes.
You don't have to live that way. Not that you condemn that way. You walk forward, and you get to live in victory. You get to live in the fullness of the blessing.
Yes.
You get to live in the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You get to walk and talk a new way. You get to live like heaven on earth. He said we could have heaven on earth, but we tolerate the chaos and the stones the enemy's been throwing at us. What did they do to the woman caught in adultery? They pulled her in front of Jesus, wanting him to condemn her. There's not one bit of condemnation in him. Why would he condemn her? And he said, the one with no sin, cast the first stone. So the world wants to throw stones at us. We don't need to take the stones that the world is throwing. Get at the feet of Jesus and get free. And watch what happens. You will so walk with victory There are so many in this room that are full evidence of walking in the victory of God. I encourage you to stay in the Word, to stay in the church, to stay in the healing center, to walk forward in freedom. So some of you have been just going through your day managing stress, tolerating dysfunction, and calling it strength. But survival is not your assignment. You are not called to survive this life. You're called to thrive it. You weren't created barely to make it, to constantly feel behind, or to live reacting to everything around you. You were called to walk in authority, to set the tone, and to live with intention. When you live in survival mode, you accept things God already told you to confront. Confront it. Most of us don't like to confront things. I will usually clam up, but if you don't confront it, you tolerate it, you get familiar with it. You stay in cycles. You go around, and then you lay it down, and then you go around again. He already gave you authority to break. You keep waiting for something to change while God is waiting for you to step into who you already are. Get up, get out, and walk and speak the word. Yeah. Some of you are exhausted because you keep adjusting yourself to fit people who God never told you to please. Have you become a people pleaser just to keep the peace? That is no peace at all. You're overthinking, over-explaining, overextending, just to maintain approval that was never assigned to you. And the cost of that is your clarity, your peace, and your authority. It's like laying down the sword God gave you to speak over every situation. When you tolerate things or overthink things, you laid down your sword. He gave us a sword to speak the word.
Yeah.
Alignment will cost you access to certain rooms, certain relationships, and certain opinions. But it will position you exactly where you're supposed to be. You can't carry power and people-pleasing at the same time. One will always cancel the other out. Be in the rooms you're supposed to be in. Stop trying to manage what God gave you authority to evict. You weren't called to cope with torment. You were called to cast it out. That's what answering something is, casting it out. You cast down those imaginations and any high and lofty thing that exalts itself against God. If God said it's not for you, you have to cast it down. You have to evict it out. Anxiety is not your identity. Fear isn't your personality. Depression isn't your inheritance. And panic does not belong to you. You don't negotiate with spirits sent to destroy you. Don't have talks with the enemy except for casting him out. Don't come and say the devil said this and the devil said that. You're supposed to be listening to God. You don't normalize what Jesus already paid to break. And you confront it, you expose it, and you evict it. You have peace over panic. You don't need coping skills for something you have authority over. You weren't called to cope. You were called to conquer. You're a conqueror. There's a difference between management and mastery. Jesus was a master over everything the devil sent, and he has deposited that into you. You do not have to manage the enemy's accusations or every rock he has thrown at you. The word taught you to live with it, or the world taught you to live with it, but the word teaches you to cast it out. You do not have to live with the enemy's taunts, the torment, You get to cast it out. See it for what it is. Put your God glasses on, if I have to say it that way. Yeah. Sometimes we get whirled in the world we live in and the stuff that comes around. Put them on and cast out what is not given of God. Anxiety, as I said, is not your personality type, and panic isn't your permanent label. Intrusive thoughts don't get to rule you any day of the week. You don't need 10 new habits to tiptoe around torment. I'm thankful for every self-help book and the people that, you know, try to help us get out of things. But if it doesn't involve the Spirit and the Word, you're playing games. The Spirit and the Word is what you need. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit with the Word so that we would have the sword we need to have victory over every situation. So you don't need every 10-step program to do that. You need authority and the permission to use it, which God has already given you. In the name of Jesus, you get to cast out demons, according to Mark 16:17. You get to take every thought captive, according to 2 Corinthians 10:5. You don't need to manage what Jesus gave you the power to evict. Anxiety may have entered through trauma, but it will exit through truth. It will exit through truth. So flood yourself with the truth. Be it in music, in having the Word read to you, sitting in church, reading the Word, pondering the Word. The truth will flood that out. Yes. Trauma may have opened the door, but truth sets it. You didn't choose the wound. You didn't ask for the betrayal or the abandonment or the violation, but the enemy used it as an exit point at the back door of your peace. A seed of fear that grew into a storm of anxiety. And there's good news. You don't heal by reliving the trauma. You heal by replacing the lie with truth. With truth. The Word is truth. Jesus is truth. You need all of Jesus you can get.
Right.
Trauma says you're not safe, but the truth said God is your refuge and your strength, according to Psalms 46:1. Trauma says you'll never be free. I wonder if you've heard that one. I have. Truth changed that for me. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed, according to John 8:36. You don't need to manage what God and Jesus already defeated. You need to confront the lie and cast it out. I know I'm repeating myself, but you need to hear it. What you've normalized may be what's been authorized by hell. Do you realize that when you accept people, please, and accept situations around you that you know are not right, hell has come to invade your atmosphere, and you do not need to make it normalized. You need to war against it. Doesn't mean you sling accusations and fight the enemy's fight. You fight it God's way. You evict it, you use your authority, and you change the situation. You need to confront the lie and cast it out. Constant mental noise, emotional shutdown, sleepless nights, panic attacks. Sometimes we even joke about them. Patterns we call personal traits. But what if the thing you've been calling just how I am or just what I have is actually a strategy from hell that was designed to keep you bound up and to destroy you? What you tolerate becomes your atmosphere. What you agree with becomes your identity. This works both ways. It works both ways. So if I tolerate the atmosphere of God, I get to agree with that identity. Yeah. But if I tolerate the atmosphere of dysfunction, lies, doubts, fears, pain, I become that identity because I associate with it. Watch what you associate with. You normalize it and you become familiar with it, you accept it. But the moment you confront it, you answer it, like I said before, you answer it, you speak to it, it will break. You call it for what it is. You don't tolerate it. The enemy attacks the mind he fears will wake up.
Yeah.
He knows God's given us the power. The enemy isn't after your peace, he's after your purpose. Do you know you have a purpose? God has a purpose and a plan for you, not to harm you, but to give you a life. He knows the moment your mind wakes up, you will be really who you are. Then chains have to break, cycles have to end, territory gets taken for the Lord, nations change. That's why the warfare in your thoughts has been so relentless. Because your mind isn't weak, it's anointed. And a mind fully surrendered to Christ is a weapon hell cannot handle or tolerate. Hell knows its answer. It knows its time's limited. The enemy cannot own what you don't sign for. You know, if they used to deliver things, you had to sign for it. Sometimes you get that now. But if you sign for what the enemy brings and you own it, the doctor gives you the diagnosis, you take it, you read it, you own it. I have this. No. You might have to deal with that, but don't sign for it. Don't speak it. Do what you got to do. If you got to take the medicine, Pastor Debbie has always told me, you take the medicine in faith. Standing the word, using the word more than you use the medicine, but you do what you got to do to get on the other side. And then you stand your ground so it don't come back a second time. You move the stone. You throw away the stones. You don't let them get put in front of your door. You guys are wise now. You have the knowledge to walk forward in victory. So don't tolerate what God didn't give you. Do not tolerate it. Your peace is not passive. Peace is Jesus. It's not just a lay down and put up with. A peace of comfort and confidence in everything he came to bring. It's a product of spiritual order. It's a part of heaven. If anything is out of order, you've got a war against it. The atmosphere of your home, your marriages, your kids, don't ignore it. You need to size it up for what it is. And then you need to walk forward, answer it, send it back where it came. You praise God so that every situation can be changed. You anoint it with the word. You speak the word over it. That's what I had to do over my husband. I didn't go preach at my husband. I didn't nag at him. I didn't quote scripture and tell him what he was supposed to be. That's a dripping faucet. No, you don't need to be doing that. I warred in my prayer closet.
That's right.
I warred. When things didn't go right, I went and I would go back to the bedroom. He had the kids down taking care of the animals. I would sit on the bed and I would read the word. And I would read the word and I'd confess the word. And I'm in that bed speaking over that bed. That's the marriage bed. I'm speaking over. I'm talking about what God said.
Yes.
Those seeds came to fruition.
Yeah.
And I'm living proof of it now. We are living proof of that.
Yes.
But it had to be done.
Yep.
You can do this. You do not have to put up with the enemy's rocks,
yep,
his stones, his accusations, his torment. Jesus has come to give you victory. He's come to heal you.
Right.
He's come to remove the stones. Just like he told them to get that stone out of the way. Come forth, Lazarus. So he's telling you right now, get the stone out of your way and come forth. Come forth and be who I said you were. Come forth with life.
Yeah.
Don't tolerate what the enemy put in front of you. God's people should be the most healthiest, the wholest, the most victorious, doing everything in this life.
Yes.
You don't tolerate the enemy. 5 minutes. Ha ha. Knowing the truth doesn't disarm the enemy. Knowing it. You guys can all know it. You know it. You hear it constantly. Declaring it is what's going to change the enemy. The word becomes a sword only when it's in your mouth. Ephesians 6:17. You can own a weapon and still lose a war. Some of you can own a weapon and still lose a war because you didn't use it. If you never draw it, you never use it, it's not enough to know it, you must decree it. You don't fight fear with feelings. You fight it with the word of God in your mouth.
That's right.
When fear shows up, don't collapse. Don't go in a pity party. Don't go crying. You command. You declare, decree, answer it, and speak to it. When confusion hits, don't retreat. That's real easy for some of us. It's just to back up. Don't retreat. Release truth. Release truth out of your mouth. Feelings follow authority. Your feelings God gave to you. You just don't rely on them totally.
Right.
They will follow the truth if you tell them to. You have to tell them to follow the truth.
Yep.
So use your authority and use your feelings for the word of God, for the kingdom. Speak this now. Declare and speak the truth. I don't just believe the word. Go ahead and speak this. I don't just believe the word.
I declare it.
My voice is a weapon.
My words
carry weight.
When I speak,
heaven moves
and
hell flees.
I don't
fight for victory.
I fight from it.
We fight from the victory. We declare the word. Thank you, Lord. Now, you can memorize every verse, but if you never speak it, you're walking around with your weapon out of the sheath. You know how the sword has that sheath. It's just sitting in there for show.
Yeah.
Is this word just show? Or is it a weapon that you use? You put it in your mouth. You eat it. Wasn't it Jeremiah said, I did find your word and eat it? You have to eat it. You have to drink it. You have to speak it. You have to see it. You have to live it. This is your victory. This is your victory. Now, we've got just a few minutes, and I'll pray over you. I just want to remind you that faith that only is in your head may look like faith, but it won't move any mountains. It won't move mountains. You may be able to see some words, and you may be here every week, but faith only in your head will not move mountains. It's a heart faith that completely changes the scenery of your life. That's what happened to us. It changed the scenery of our lives. We had 18 acres. My husband worked at the shipyard. He thought he was supposed to be a hunter and a fisherman or whatever, a trapper, whatever. God changed our life. We sold our farm. We sold 18 acres, and we went into the ministry. And when we went into the ministry, we went to the Methodist Church and we preached for 3 years. But we found out that just wasn't right. So we left that ministry and we didn't know where we were going, but God provided every step of the way. He will change the scenery of your life. If you don't like what's around you or you don't like just a particular thing, the word will change anything and everything. You do not have to tolerate or put up with the enemy. Now, before we go, I want to give you a couple of scriptures to give you victory. I'm going to speak this over you, okay? Heavenly Father, I thank you for creating us in your image, and I thank you that every organ, tissue, and each one of these bodies functions to the perfection that God created it to function. We forbid malfunction in bodies and lives in Jesus' name. Each one of us touch the hem of your garment, Lord, and we receive healing. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us, permeating life through our veins, sending healing through our bodies. The spirit and life of God's word flows in us, cleansing our blood and every disease and impurity and infirmity. Our immune system grows stronger day by day. We are stronger day by day. We speak life to our immune systems. We forbid confusion in our immune system. Our organs are healed in Jesus' name. I command our organs to be normal in size and in function, normal as God created them to be. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, because the Lord is with us. No disease can be against us. Every cell that does not promote or produce life and health in our bodies is cut off from its life source. Our immune systems will not allow tumorous growths to live in our bodies. No tumorous growths in these bodies. None at all. That which God has not planted is dissolved and rooted out of our bodies, just like those stones are removed. 1 Peter 2:24 is engrafted into every fiber of our being, and we are alive with the life of God. Jesus bore the curse for us. Therefore, we forbid growths and tumors to inhabit our bodies. The life of God within me dissolves growths and tumors. Our strength and health is restored.
Yes.
Growths and tumors have no right in our bodies. Not at all. They are a thing of the past.
Yes.
We are delivered from the authority of darkness in Jesus' name. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Therefore, we will not allow sin, sickness, and death to lord over us. We will not allow the devil any inroad. No inroads or attempts to kill, steal, and destroy in our lives. The Bible says that we already have been healed. So each one of us are more than conquerors. We are overcomers. We are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. God wishes above all things that our souls prosper and that we would be in good health. These are not just words. These are God's promises to each and every one of us. He loves each and every one of us, and he wants us victorious on this earth as it is in heaven. We set a boundary line around our families and a bloodline that the blood of the Messiah has given us. No weapon formed against us will prosper. It cannot cross the bloodline that is surrounding us. No defeated demon from the pit of hell can affect us or harm us. Every thought and anything that comes against us is cast down in the name of Jesus. Satan has no authority over us. He must get out of our lives. He must get out of our bodies, because we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We have been translated from the power of darkness and translated into God's kingdom, the light kingdom. Only God has planted what is in my body and will be in my body and remain in my body. Anything that God has not planted is rooted out in Jesus' name. No medicine, no food, no man-made thing can do what my Savior has already done and will continue to do in our lives. We will trust in God because he loves us. We do not have to bow to the name of cancer, sickness, fear, lack for anything. For God has given us a spirit to dwell in us. We have become a joint heir with Jesus as the righteousness of God in Christ. What God says in his word is given to me for power to tread on serpents and trample on an enemy. The devil is defeated, and God has given us victory when by his shed blood that he had on the tree. God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword and better able to heal than any surgeon's blade. God's promises are true and better and able to cure more than anything. We are healed, and we have already been healed. I give you praise, Lord, for your word that's truth that sets us free. We will walk in the victory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.